Wholesale Changes.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. At least we don't have to worry about inflation. The government says wholesale prices fell by a record amount in October, almost 3%. We haven't seen that in the 60 years of record keeping, and it's mainly about the price of oil dropping. The consensus is that the slowing economy will keep inflation in check. As we speak, Congress is holding a hearing on the $700 billion bailout package. Democrat Barney Frank, chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, opened the hearing. He urged Treasury Secretary Paulson to spend some of the money on reducing home foreclosures.
I believe it's an overwhelmingly powerful set of reasons why some of the TARP money must be used for mortgage foreclosure. First of all, mortgage foreclosures continue at an excessive pace from the standpoint of the economy. Secondly, there's a matter of public confidence.
But Paulson's expected to say that his efforts, investing in banks and other financial companies, will do more to prevent foreclosure than buying up the toxic assets. So far on Wall Street, some minor gains. The Dow is up 78 points to 8,352. The NASDAQ has gained 13, and the S&P 500 is up 7. In Europe, shares are down slightly. The Asian markets closed 2 to 4% lower today. One company's shares are going up this morning, and that's Yahoo. CEO Jerry Yang has decided to step down as soon as the company finds his replacement. Yang founded Yahoo 14 years ago, but investors have been pretty unhappy with his performance as CEO the last year and a half. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
Yang's biggest mistake was a botched deal with Microsoft. He turned down a hostile takeover offer from Microsoft valued at $31 a share. Yang held out for more money, but Microsoft said no. Since then, Yahoo stock has lost 65% of its value. Jeffrey Lindsay with Sanford Bernstein says Microsoft will make another try for Yahoo after Yang's replaced. Lindsay says Microsoft and Yahoo need each other if they want to compete with Google for online ad dollars.
All of the major players need a very good online monetization vehicle for advertising. And really, the only way Microsoft can achieve this is by acquiring Yahoo.
Right now, Google dominates search with more than 60% of the market. Yang tried to partner with Google, but that failed too. Yang will still be on Yahoo's board, and he'll focus on strategy and technology. The company's hired an executive search firm to look for a new leader. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Looks like this will be a Christmas with fewer gift cards. Retail groups are expecting a 5 to 10% drop. Hardly surprising. It would be the first decline in 6 years. The National Retail Federation says people are shopping for bargains, gifts that look expensive but aren't. Obviously, with gift cards, you know exactly what the person spent. This is the Morning Report for Tuesday, November 18th on Marketplace.org. It looks like everyone wants a piece of the U.S. financial bailout, even overseas companies. A Dutch insurance company, Aegon, is looking to make itself eligible by buying a small American thrift company. From the European desk in London, here's Stephen Beard.
Aegon has applied to join the TARP bailout program. If successful, it could receive more than $1 billion of American taxpayers' cash. The Dutch company owns the U.S. life insurer Transamerica. But the insurance company needs to be federally regulated to qualify for any bailout funds. To gain that federal status, Aegon is exploring the possibility of buying a small American savings and loan firm. Aegon's spokesman is Greg Tucker.
What we've done is try to maintain a place at the table while we look at this TARP program and understand, number one, if we would be eligible, and number two, under what terms.
Aegon has just received $3.8 billion worth of Dutch taxpayers' cash. The company points out that it generates three-quarters of its profits in the U.S., and if it succeeds in getting any U.S. bailout funds, the money will be spent in America. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Small Business Administration is making the case for free trade today. It's holding a symposium on that. The group is trying to get Congress to pass free trade agreements with Colombia, Panama, and South Korea. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
The Small Business Administration says exports could help entrepreneurs survive the current economic downturn. There's just one catch.
The downturn in the United States has spread to much of the middle-income and developing world.
Susan Aronson teaches business at George Washington University. She says some highly specialized small businesses may still be able to profit from exports. Karen Saltis has. She and her husband own Quality Defense Spares. They make replacement parts for cars, trucks, and military vehicles. Saltis says her biggest challenge has been funding for overseas deals.
You finally get that business and then you don't have the financing to pay for it, then you're out of business.
Saltis says she solved that problem through Small Business Administration loans. The free trade agreements would help the company streamline paperwork, but Saltis isn't holding her breath. Their fate is uncertain in the lame duck Congress, and President-elect Obama has reservations about them. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
The global economic crisis may be trumping global warming as the topic of the day in Washington, but in California, climate change still has a place at the table. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger convenes a two-day summit on global warming today. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
More than 600 officials and activists from as far away as Borneo are attending the summit. They hope to show that while national leaders butt heads over emissions reductions, regional authorities are ready to cooperate. Summit organizer Terry Tamminen says even with a more climate-friendly White House, states like California will play a vital role in shaping the next international climate treaty.
Any problem benefits from breaking it down into smaller parts and solving those parts and then building it back up to the whole. And the same thing is true with climate policy.
Tamminen says if leaders at next month's UN climate talks in Poland can point to successful agreements forged by governors and mayors, the chances of passing a new global warming treaty greatly improve. The California summit includes a promise by U.S. and foreign local leaders to share technology and cut emissions from their most polluting industries. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
As part of our coverage of the financial crisis fallout, we've been doing a series called What's the Fix? We're asking people for some solutions. Today we hear from animal behavioralist Richard Conniff to get his take on how the natural world responds to a bear.
Let's take a herd of elk at Yellowstone National Park, for example. They really know what it means to have a bear threaten their security. So when they're out grazing, somebody's always popping his head up and keeping an eye out. It's an early warning system. When all the elk start to turn and stare in the same direction, it generally means there's a grizzly bear out there. So what's that got to do with the stock market? A couple of lessons from the natural world can help. First, when a herd panics, animals just get trampled and become food for the bear. We need to calm down and look out for each other. And we need real leaders to help. In the wild, strong animals sometimes walk straight toward the bear as if to say, "I see you and you don't scare me." At Yellowstone, I've also seen mother elk band together and run interference to protect fawns from a charging bear. That's kind of what Warren Buffett's been up to lately. But now we need other big money types to get into the market with everything they've got and show some nerve defending the system that made them rich. It's a chance for the Golden Parachute Gang to redeem themselves. If you're a CEO taking a federal bailout, do your job for a dollar a year and be an American hero. I saw forest fire ravage Yellowstone in 1988, and it looked like the end of the world then, too. But when I went back a few years later, the blackened areas were flourishing with new growth. The same thing happens when financial markets go up in flames. Buck up your courage, buy some stock, and the grass can be green again for us, too.
Richard Conniff is author of the book Natural History of the Rich. Share your fix with us online at marketplace.org. We usually don't celebrate birthdays on this show, but we need to do this one. Mickey Mouse turns 80 today. Here's Stacey Vanek Smith.
On this day back in 1928, Steamboat Willie was released in theaters. The cartoon featured Mickey Mouse piloting a steamboat, and it was an instant hit. Since then, Mickey's eyes have gotten a lot bigger, his limbs have gotten a little thicker, and, oh yeah, he's now the force behind a $3 billion company.
Mickey evokes fun and family and just goofiness.
That's Forrester Research branding expert Lisa Bradner. She says as Disney has ballooned into a media giant, it has managed Mickey very well.
They never cheapened him. They never let other people use him. They never licensed him in inappropriate ways. And that's really allowed that brand to stand the test of time.
Bradner says powerful brands like Mickey evoke emotional responses that give consumers a reason to buy, even when money is tight. Disney knows all about that. Mickey Mouse grew up during the Great Depression.
M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E.
I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.